greenback, low.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The dollar's getting hammered today against some big foreign currencies, all amid fears the U.S. could be headed for a lower credit rating. That's because yesterday we heard from Standard & Poor's, which lowered its outlook for the United Kingdom. But could a ratings downgrade really be in the cards? From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The U.K. has held on to its Gold Star credit status since the 70s. And here in the U.S., we've been AAA rated since the 1940s. Losing the top rating is a signal that a country could default on its debts. It makes it cost more to borrow money, and a downgrade could prompt global investors to dump U.S. Treasury bonds. But most analysts believe such a downgrade is unlikely, and that even with these concerns, the economy is improving. One sign of recovery, U.S. banks reduced borrowing this past week from the Federal Reserve's Emergency Loan Program, and investment firms didn't borrow anything at all. It's the first time that's happened since early September. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
By the way, oil's above $61 a barrel again today, and it's the weaker dollar that investors are hedging against. They're also worried about inflation. European shares are mostly up right now, averaging below 1%. London's FTSE is up about 0.75%. Paris and Frankfurt shares are up as well. A little give back on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P 500 down about 1.5%. Same for the NASDAQ, nearly 2%, as a matter of fact. The Dow down about 1.5%. Asian markets closed lower for the most part today. The Nikkei fell 0.4%. The Bank of Japan today said the country's economy is still deteriorating, but exports and production are beginning to level off. There's a new Bank United opening up in the state of Florida this morning. Federal regulators shut the bank down yesterday, the latest failure of the year of 34 so far. There were 25 in all of last year. The seizure cost the FDIC nearly $5 billion. A group of private equity firms picked up the bank. Maybe the heat of the summer causes people to talk on the phone more, or there's a little more spare time to go cell phone shopping. Whatever the case, companies are rolling out some new high-tech devices that could make smart the new tan. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Last week, T-Mobile introduced its new Sidekick. AT&T unveiled the Samsung Jack. Palm is about to release the much-anticipated Pre. Oh, and the new iPhone is on the way. Welcome to the smartphone wars.
We're getting ready for another exciting summer.
Telecom analyst Jeff Kagan says don't expect big discounts. This won't be a price war. It's more like a my phone is smarter than your phone war. And here's how smart smartphones have become. You can use them to text message, watch TV, surf the internet, all at warp speed. Kagan says even now people are willing to pay up for the shiny new gadgets.
If this economy happened 10 years ago, people would have canceled the cell phone and they would have kept using their traditional landline phone. But today, it's completely reversed. We're seeing people keep their cell phones, and if they have to, they're canceling their regular phone.
Sales of smartphones, which can cost several hundred dollars, are growing about 20% annually. They're expected to make up two-thirds of all cell phone sales by the end of the year. Ross Rubin studies the industry for the NPD Group.
As the value of the internet has grown to consumers, they are looking for ways to stay connected, even when they're away from a computer.
And the phone companies are looking to keep them connected to pricey long-term contracts. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. American Public Media presents The Next American Dream. What will it look like? Find out more at nextamericandream.org.
It's May, and for the college crowd, it's graduation time. Cause for celebration and time to face that mountain of debt that's accumulated. Yeah, repayment can be a big burden, but commentator Robert Rice says he has an idea that might make it a little easier.
The average young person now graduating from college has to repay almost $22,000 of student loans. That's a record, partly because college costs have continued to rise even during the downturn, and because other sources of college funding have taken big hits, like home equity loans and 529 plans that allowed families to sock money away for college. But how can young people repay this much money when the job market is so bad? The law doesn't allow college loans to be discharged in personal bankruptcy. Even when they do find jobs, college grads have no choice but to take the job that pays the most. They can't afford to do what they really might want to do, become, say, a social worker or writer or legal services attorney. Now, this problem won't go away when the economy recovers. College debt burdens have been rising for years, and the career choices of many newly minted graduates are narrowing to those that help repay college loans. We need a new system. So here's my proposal. Any college student can get full funding from the government with only one string attached. Once they've graduated and are in the workforce, they pay 10% of their incomes for the first 10 years of full-time work into the same government fund they drew on to finance their college education. Now, maybe this formula will need to be adjusted up or down to cover all the costs, and surely some people will game the system, as they do every other one. But the essential idea is that linking the costs of college to subsequent wages makes college affordable to everyone, and linking repayment to a fixed percentage of wages for a limited number of years enables all graduates to follow their dreams into whatever work they want, without worrying about earning enough to repay a loan. Those who end up in relatively high-paying jobs subsidize those who end up in relatively low-paying ones. It's fair, it's simple, and good for society as well as the individual. So happy graduation!
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Hey, what's your graduation story? Loaded with school loans and don't know what to do? Or maybe you've got it all figured out. Tell us about it at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Have a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.